All right, brethren, let's go to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. In the last psalm, we saw a believer. He was brought by God to say this in verse 17, Psalm 116, 17. He said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice. I'm sorry, verse 116, 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And then right here, verse 1, he says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. That's how the last psalm ended. Praise ye the Lord. And he says here, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. You know, some translations divide Psalm 116 at verse 10. They make it two psalms. I'm a little more inclined to think that it's one psalm and that this psalm should go with that psalm. We saw how that he was brought to praise the Lord in that last psalm. And now he breaks out and says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. All ye people, not you only, but Gentiles, all ye nations, all ye people. And what do we praise him for? Look at verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. Isn't it? And his merciful kindness great toward us. Those words, merciful and kindness, are translated from the same word. It means his goodness, his favor, giving us what we don't deserve, withholding what we do deserve, even giving us grace that we demerit, and withholding all that we've earned. His merciful kindness is so great toward us. It really is great toward us. His merciful kindness. And why else do we praise him? He said, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The truth of the Lord means his faithfulness, his firmness, his stability, his reliability. Turn over to Lamentations 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3:19. He said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That word faithfulness is translated from the same word as translated truth in our text. It's a little different form, but it's the same root word. We praise him because the truth of the Lord, his faithfulness, his firmness, his stability, his reliability endureth forever. Endureth forever. From generation to generation. Now, first of all, notice this word's to all people. This word is to all people. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. We preach the gospel to all people. We don't have one gospel for some and another gospel for another. We preach the same gospel, and we preach it to all people. To all people. God sent the gospel forth into all the world. He sent it to all people in all nations. Mark 16:15, the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. John saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel. There you go. His truth endures forever. It's the everlasting gospel. He had the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. But do all people in all nations worship Him and praise Him? All should. All should. Every breath we take, He gave it. Every moment we have on this earth, He gave it. All should praise Him. We should all praise Him. But not everybody does. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. And this is what the text means. There are all kinds of people in all nations who God shall bring to praise Him. All kinds of people in all nations who God shall bring to praise Him. John saw them sing this song, this new song. And you remember what they said. They sang and they said, worthy, thou art worthy to take the book. They're singing to our Lord. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, God has a people. He has a people. And Christ redeemed these people, and so they're going to be brought to praise Him. Justice of God demands that they must be given life and brought to praise Him. God cannot let them perish in their sins because Christ has redeemed them. So they will be brought to praise Him. You remember when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 tells us there was dwelling there people out of every nation under heaven. There was a lot of different kinds of people there. And he preached the gospel, and the Holy Spirit pricked them in their heart, and they were brought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they did? Scripture says, they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Praising God. Everybody God saves gives Him the praise. Everybody He saved. This is how you know somebody's been saved. He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. He gets it all. And it's not a small number either. We're not talking about just a little small number that He brings to praise Him. When John looked, he said there, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praising the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all the praise. All the praise. This is a people, a great multitude of people. They're going to be every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, all nations, from all nations, all kinds of people, rich, poor, from the least to the greatest, people you'd have never thought would be there praising Him. All will be brought to praise Him. Now, why do we praise Him? Why do we praise the Lord? Why is it we praise Him? Verse 2, he says, because His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. That's why. His merciful kindness is great toward us, and His truth endureth forever. The very fact that we praise Him for His merciful kindness, for it being so great toward us, you know what that declares? It declares who praises Him. It declares who praises Him. Only those who are made to see, they are real sinners. Real sinners. Because we see we need mercy. We see we need mercy. We see we're saved by mercy. That's who's going to praise Him. Real sinners. Through and through sinners. Sinners who are real, true sinners. That know, been made to know by God that we are sinners. merciful kindness, and God's enduring faithfulness. His merciful kindness and His enduring faithfulness in everything that God gives us and everything He does. That's our salvation. And merciful kindness and enduring truth, enduring faithfulness is in everything He's doing for us, and He's doing everything for His people in our salvation. Absolutely everything. Everything. It has to be by God's mercy and truth because we are sinners. Isn't that so? Isn't that right? Doesn't salvation have to be by God's mercy and truth because we are sinners? We are sinners. We don't merit anything, or it wouldn't be mercy. It wouldn't be mercy if we earned it. It wouldn't be mercy. Salvation is entirely due to God's merciful kindness. It's entirely due to His enduring truth, His enduring faithfulness. Everything a believer has, now listen, everything you have and everything you do not have. Anybody here that there's some things you'd like to have that you don't have? Anything you have and anything you don't have, as a child of God, you know what that is? That's God's merciful kindness to you. And that's His enduring truth to you. That's His enduring faithfulness to you. Everything you have and everything you don't have. And so every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every gift He gives is good. Sometimes it's a gift of withholding from us something that would be harmful to us. And every good gift He gives you is from Him. There's no variableness. There's neither shadow of turning. It's all from Him. Romans 11:35 says, who's first given to Him, and it'll be recompensed to Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The merciful kindness and the enduring truth of our Lord. The merciful kindness, the enduring truth of our Lord, that's a boundless subject. That's an endless subject. We just can't get to the bottom of this. So great. Well, you think about election. Wasn't that God's merciful kindness? Wasn't that His truth, His enduring faithfulness to choose His people in Christ before this world was made? Think about His faithfulness. Isaiah, He said through Isaiah, He declared the end from the beginning. The things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. That's His faithfulness. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Never been one thing that God didn't bring to pass. And never will be one thing that God purposed that He does not bring to pass. And it's all merciful kindness. It's all His enduring truth. What about being preserved in the fall? When Adam sinned and he disobeyed God and plunged us, all his race, into sin, wasn't that merciful kindness for God to not destroy mankind right then? Wasn't that His enduring truth not to destroy? He had promised to save a people before He made anything, and His truth endured, didn't it? He didn't destroy mankind when Adam sinned. That was His merciful kindness. What about the Scriptures? From the beginning, God has been speaking into the hearts of sinners that He's called to Him and made to pen the Scriptures. He's given them a heart to know Him. He's made them holy in heart, and He's given them the Scriptures. And they pen the Scriptures as God moved them. And He's recorded those Scriptures, and He's preserved those Scriptures. The reason we have the Bible today, and men want to argue about it, men want to, say, well, you can't depend on it. Yes, you can. If you know Him, you know this Word is true, because you see it's got one solid, continuous message from beginning to end as Christ and the salvation of God in Him. And it all just fits right together. And you see that when you know Him. When people tell you, they say, prove to me that's the Word of God. You tell them this, you prove to me it's not. I don't have to prove to you it's His Word. Faith he gives you believes it's his word. And no man can prove it's not. Preservation of Judah. You think about this. Think about all the nations that were surrounding Israel. And the 10 tribes and the 2.5 of Judah. Judah and the half tribe of Benjamin. They even divided and split. And yet God preserved Judah. You know why? Because he said Christ was coming through Judah. And he kept Judah. He kept that tribe. And our Lord Jesus came through that tribe. He came into this earth because of God's merciful kindness and his enduring faithfulness. Don't tell me God doesn't rule everything. Look at how he protected that tribe from beginning all the way to the end. You just look at history and you can see God's hand in it. You can see him doing it for the sake of glorifying his son. You can see him doing it for the salvation of his people. That's his merciful kindness. That's his truth enduring from age to age to save his people, just like he promised. And through Judah, the Son of God came down and came to this earth to save his people. That's merciful kindness. That's enduring truth. God said he would. God's been promising from the garden that Christ would come. He came. Just like God said he would. At the time God appointed, he came. And he came into this world and was made under the law to redeem his people that were under the law, to redeem us from the curse and to save us from ourselves and to give us an understanding of who God is and how God saves sinners. That's why he came. God said, I'm going to make myself known in him. I'm going to reveal myself in him. I'm going to make the fullness of the Godhead known in my son. And he's one of my people we're going to be gathered to because he's the righteousness of my people. He's the redemption of my people. He's the peace of my people. He's the reconciliation with God for my people. He's the one in whom God's love is toward his people that we can't be separated from. He's the one in whom we have forgiveness. He's everything to his people. And he came and he satisfied God's law for us and he made his people righteous because God promised it. He promised it. And in Christ Jesus, we see mercy and truth meet together. We see God's mercy toward his people in Christ and we see his truth meet together with his mercy. God satisfied his own law. God honored his own character. And put every one of his people to death in Christ. Saved us from death. Condemned death in his flesh. Saved us from death. Saved us from our sin by what Christ did. Made us the righteousness of God in him. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What more could our Lord Jesus have done than he's done for his people in redemption? There was no other way we could be saved. Absolutely no other way we could be saved. And there's nothing more he could have done for his people than what he's done. The great God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is full salvation. He's full salvation. He is salvation. Pardon is by his precious blood. The robe that he gives you is the robe of righteousness that he made. Top to bottom, without seams in it. It's perfect. It's a perfect righteousness. That was merciful kindness. That was the truth of God enduring. What about him sending you the gospel? What about him sending you the gospel? Think of the multitudes in this world that's never heard the gospel. Think of all the people in this world that's never heard the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ sent you the gospel. He brought the gospel to you. And he not only brought the gospel to you, he did what was absolutely necessary to make you hear it with spiritual profit. He gave you a new heart to hear the scripture and hear the gospel. That word entered in. That living word entered in. By the living word, he entered in. And the Spirit of God gave you life. Of the incorruptible seed, a new baby was born, conceived inside you. In these old bodies of death, there was a baby conceived of incorruptible seed. The first man was corrupt and he was sinful and he was couldn't know God and didn't want to know God. This new man is all of God, incorruptible, incorruptible, born of the seed of God. And he taught you the gospel. Sanctification is all of God. He separated you from your flesh. He separated you from your false idols. He separated you from your thinking we were saved by something we had done. He separated us from a love for the world and for sin. And he gave us a hatred for it. And he gave us a desire to be like him and to know him. And he keeps on renewing you. He keeps making you want to know him more and follow him more and more and more and more. This is merciful kindness. This is his truth enduring toward his people. Creation and providence, everything in creation around us is declaring his holy name. Everything. Everything. You hear the thunder. God says, God speaks of the thunder being his voice. The lightning. When a storm comes, who's controlling the storm? He is. When the earthquake comes and the earth trembles and it quakes and you think it's going to just split open and everything's just going to fall in a chasm, who does that? The Lord does it. Everything that's ever come to pass in this world, our Lord's been moving it by his sovereign power and doing it all by his sovereign will according to his good pleasure. He's God. There's nothing above him. There's nothing questioning him. There's nothing that's going to oppose him and make him fail in his purpose. Nothing. Nothing. If it could, that thing would be God. Nothing's going to oppose him and make frustrate him in his purpose. Absolutely nothing. And what he's been doing from the beginning, what he's been doing from the beginning is merciful kindness toward his people. When it says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, it means what it says, all things. All things. And they don't just work together, magically work together. He's working them all together on purpose, according to the purpose that he ordained from eternity. Everything that's happening is for his people. Every war that's ever taken place, every king that's been put on a throne, every king that's been removed. And you know, when you think about it like this, you go back there to Adam, and you go from Abel and Cain. Cain kills Abel. God worked that together. Everything that happened after that, after that, after that, all the way through time, and he worked every bit of it together. And this is how real it is. He worked it all together to bring the gospel to you. Every bit of it. And reveal Christ in you. We ought not worry about anything that's coming to pass in this world because the Lord is doing it in merciful kindness and enduring truth for the sake of his people. Everything. Everything. We have a good hope. Christ is going to return. He's going to raise us up entirely new, so we're going to praise him forever. We have a good hope, brethren. A good hope. He's promised us. His truth endures. He promised us. And he made an oath. He promised us and he gave us the oath that he was going to do it. Two immutable things in which God cannot lie. We have a good hope. Christ has entered into the veil. You really believe Christ is risen? You believe he's entered in? Has he proved it to you by his power working in your heart? You know, when he's working in your heart powerfully, you can stand up to anything and anybody. And if he withdraws just a little bit, you find out real fast how weak you are because you can't stand up to anybody. You can't find any peace in your heart. You can't do anything. And then he can enter in. And you don't notice anything's even happened. He just did it. It's spirit. He did it in spirit and made it happen. It was God's merciful kindness. It was his truth enduring from eternity. Yesterday, today, and it will be tomorrow. Never changing, no variableness to it. Salvation entirely by his merciful kindness salvation entirely according to the truth he declared from the beginning, salvation entirely of his grace and of his mercy and of his love, and it's overflowing to us, brethren. It is overflowing to us. Overflowing to us. Our Lord doesn't give a little bit. He gives in abundance. The promises of the covenant are yes and amen in Christ. He couldn't give any more than that. Yes and amen. Now, how's He keep us praising Him? He tells us to praise Him. How's He keep us praising Him? Well, for you who believe, do you remember how He first made you praise Him? Do you remember how He first made you praise Him? When He first revealed to you that you were a real sinner. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Don't ever forget. He won't let you forget that. He won't let you. That you are a real sinner. I mean, it quit being about church, going to church. It became serious between you and God. It became a matter of, I am the sinner. I am perishing. I need mercy. You were like that Pharisee who smote upon his breast and wouldn't as much as lift his eyes up to heaven and said, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. You were the only sinner in the world. Do you remember that? Well, when that happened, you remember this? When He gave you faith to believe on Christ, and for the first time you saw yourself, and it just was, it was too good to be true to you. You mean to say He put away all my sin? You mean to say I'm complete in Him? You mean to say I'm righteous in Him? You mean to say I'm risen and seated at God's right hand in Him? And you remember how your heart was overflowing? Now remember this. You didn't have one single good work to look to, did you? He made you see all your good works that you thought was good was vanity. You didn't have one good thing to look to. Nothing. Not a thing. And you didn't have anybody you could look to. He made you go long enough under that burden of sin to see that there ain't nobody that can help you. He made you see you were such a sinner. You was like Isaiah. You were saying, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. There's nobody that can help me. And He made you see Christ is all. Christ is all. Did you need anything else? Were you looking to anything else? What made you have peace with God? You saw Christ was all. You believed God. You believed the Lord Jesus Christ was all your salvation. Well, brethren, He's going to continue to do this for you. And He has continued to do this for us over and over. Has He not? He keeps doing this. We get to going along and we get to being troubled about our sin. And we see some awful thing we've done or said or thought or what have you. And what do? We do just what we did in the beginning. We start trying to look to some work. And now we got some good works we can look to. He's not going to let you look to them. He's not going to let you look to them. He keeps showing you, you don't have any more works that you can look to right now to make you accepted with God than you did that very first moment you believed Him. That's not what we're trusting in. Whatever you did, you just did what you're supposed to do, and He worked it. So there's no way we can put any confidence in that. And He's going to keep you knowing that. He's going to keep us knowing that. And He's going to keep us knowing, too, that in ourselves, we're a sinner. But then He shows you. And all of that, doing that, is His merciful kindness to us. And then He shows you His merciful kindness. The Spirit just turns you to Christ, and we don't know. We can't say what's happened. It's just that He's turned you to Him again, and you see, and you know. all is well. It's of His tender mercies that we're not consumed. Great is His faithfulness. His merciful kindness and His truth endures forever. That last psalm, this is what he did in verse 1. He said, I love the Lord because He heard my voice, my supplication. He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I'll call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God's merciful. What made him say that? The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. That's what He keeps doing. That's what He keeps doing. And then not only that, but He keeps giving you so much good in our lives. Don't He give us so much good in our lives? He makes you see what all you have in Christ. And that's everything. That is everything. What we are in Christ and seeing that we're His and He's keeping us and He hasn't let us go back and look to something we've done and He hadn't let us fall away in our sin. He's kept us looking to Christ and we have everything we need in Him. That right there is everything to you. But even on top of that, He keeps giving you so much in this world. Everything we have, He's given it. And everything that we don't have that would harm us, He's taken it away. And He's kept you right where you need to be providentially by His grace. He won't let you get too exalted, and He won't let you get too low. He keeps you right where you need to be, and where we need to be is looking to Him the whole time. And what does that do every time He does it? Just what it did to the psalmist. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? That's what we did in the first hour. What shall I render to Him for all His benefits to me? I want to do something for Him because of everything He's done for me. He said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll take this cup. I'll own Him to be all my salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. He said in Psalm 116 and 17, I'll offer to Thee sacrifice of thanksgiving. Don't we have so much to thank Him for? I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. He's going to keep us walking before Him. And trust in Him. That's what He's going to do. Is that too simple? What else do you want? What else do you want, really? Knowing it's His mercy, knowing it's His faithfulness by which He does this. You know the Apostle Paul quotes this psalm. He quotes from this psalm. And the context in which he quotes from this psalm, he's exhorting the church at Rome to be merciful to one another. He's exhorting believers to be merciful to one another. To trust Christ to make one another stand. And the Spirit shows us that when the psalm says here, all ye nations, and it says all you people, he's talking about His elect Gentiles. Just like He saved His elect Jews, He saves His elect Gentiles. And what Paul's declaring here, there was Jewish believers in the church at Rome and there was Gentile believers in the church at Rome. Just like we all hear from different backgrounds, we all are at different points in the life of faith, we all have different measures of grace. Whatever God's working, everybody's different. Well, this was the big difference. There was Jews and Gentiles. Some were weak in faith, some were strong in faith. Some understood they had liberty, some didn't understand they had liberty. And they were doubting one another, and they were disputing with one another. And you know it's this psalm that the Lord moved Paul to quote to make them receive one another and be merciful to one another. Go over with me to Romans 15. I want you to see this. Romans 15. Look at Romans 15 and verse 1. You can read Romans 14 to see how they were doubting and disputing. Romans 15:1, this is his conclusion. He says, we then, they're strong. Now, I know that we all like to entertain the thought that he's talking to us. Okay, if he is, then here's what he says do. Bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Have you been reproached? Not anything like Christ has. Not anything like Christ has. He bore the reproaches of his people. He bore the cross for us. Whatsoever things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, what is that? That's waiting on God. That's enduring whatever God puts you through. And comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you. The God of patience and the God of consolation. We don't just get this patience and consolation. We don't just muster it up ourselves. It's from the God of patience and the God of consolation. And may he grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to keep his people doing. With one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How did Christ receive you? Think back to the beginning. How did he receive you? You didn't have anything to bring to the table, did you? You didn't have a thing to bring to him. You came a sinner in need of mercy, and he received you by grace. He said, now receive your brother that way. The one you're doubting, not the one you're confident in, the one you're doubting. Not the one you're at peace with, the one you're disputing with. Receive him as Christ received you. To the glory of God. Want to glorify God? That's what he's saying. You want to glorify God? That's how to do it. Now our psalm praises God for his mercy and his truth, for his mercy and his faithfulness, his firmness, his dependability. And so Paul speaks of both of those right here. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision of his elect Jews for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. He came and fulfilled every promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's what he came for. He came and did it. His truth endures forever. It's ordered and sure in all things, yea and amen in Christ. And that the Gentiles, that's me and you, might glorify God for his mercy. We didn't have the scriptures. We didn't have the law. How are we going to fulfill the righteousness of it? By his mercy, through faith. Through faith. As it's written. Now here we go. He's going to quote some scripture. This is what's for our learning. For this cause I'll confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. He's talking about Christ. Christ coming and confessing of God in our heart, making us know him. I'll confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, here's our psalm. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. That's our psalm right there. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. All joy and peace in believing. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What can you do without the power of the Holy Ghost? What can you do without the power of the Holy Spirit? Nothing. Nothing. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to make them believe, to make them repent. You know, you can have your own problems and your own sin that just trouble you, and you can try to put it away, and you try to do this or that, and then when the Lord does it, though, it's done. You can just have all these doubts and all these disputings in your heart. When the Lord comes and settles your heart, it's done. You have peace in believing. Peace in believing. That's what he prays for. That's what we need. And when he's done that, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll make you say, "Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations and all ye people." He'll send us forth preaching this gospel to everybody. Praise him. His merciful kindness is great toward us. When do you see it's great? When you see you're a great sinner. The greater a sinner you are, the greater you're going to see his merciful kindness. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's remember our Redeemer at his table. Brother Ravi, Brother Adam.